for some issue. But I remember this day so clearly because it was a day this horrible atrocity had happened to me. So I woke up, you know, extra late, and I woke up and I was just starving. I was so hungry. And so I walk into the kitchen, and it was kind of one of those debilitating hungers, that hunger that, like, you're so tired, you don't even want to make anything. You just want to curl into a ball and just be like, I'm hungry. And so it was one of those, like, that level hunger. And I walk into the kitchen, and I'm thinking, like, something quick to take away this pain. And then I'm like, no, nothing quick will satisfy this, you know, like, level of starvation I'm experiencing. I need to make something proper. And so I decided that I was going to make a manwich, a manly sandwich so massive that it could satisfy even the deepest of hunger cravings. And so I piled on multiple kinds of meats and cheeses and vegetables. And then to top it all off, I even, like, sliced a pickle and put it next to it on the plate. And as it was perfectly arranged, I had this giant sourdough roll that I had made it. And it was the size of my face. Just this mass, and I was so excited, mouth-watering. And I thought to myself, I have pickle juice on my hands. I can't start the sandwich like this, you know? And so I turned around to the sink to wash my hands, and immediately I realized, wow, there's no towel here. So I ran to the bathroom, so excited and imagining myself taking the first bite of this sandwich. And so I wash my hands, and making sure to take at least 20 seconds, because anything less in the bathroom is gross. And so I wash my hands, right? And I'm, like, skipping back, and I'm imagining taking this amazing bite of this marvelous masterpiece that I had created. And as I, like, walk into the kitchen, instantly I notice something has gone terribly wrong. Something that no one should ever experience. No, and it wasn't that there's a bug or a fly or some sort of mouse or creature on my beautiful manwich. No, there was a bite missing from it, and it was seriously messed up. And I was really upset about it, and I was like, no, why? Like, what is happening to my, what have you done? Who would do such a dastardly act? And I was furious. And then my wife comes in the kitchen and is like, hey, like, what's going on? I'm like, the bite, somebody, there's a bite out of my sandwich. And right as she walks in, I see her, like, swallowing the bite and wiping. And I'm like, what did you do? You know, my beautiful, you know, 5-foot wife, you know, the size of her frame did nothing to disguise the atrocity that had just been committed. And I'm like, you're so beautiful, but I'm so mad at you right now. I cannot believe that you would foil my beautiful sandwich. It's ruined. And she's like, what? What's the big deal? It's just, you know, it's just a bite out of a sandwich. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm so hungry. I want to cry. And I made this creation, and you ruined it. And so after that, I decided that I was going to set up some boundaries. After that and numerous other food experiences, there's lots of things I joke about. Food is not one of them. I'm very serious about my food, right? So Nicole and I, we came up with, like, almost like a little rhyme that helps, you know, to remember, right? So here's my food rules, all right? No first or last, and only if you ask, all right? So here's the deal. You can't have the first bite of my food, all right? You can't have the last bite of my food, and you need to ask, all right? Now, before all of you are like, wow, that dude has some serious control issues, and he's a little neurotic, all right? While that may be true, all right? So here's what I realized was, I didn't even know this, but I actually, like, I had some boundaries around my food. Like, I'm not one of those people. Growing up, I was never one of those people that's like, oh, yeah, this food is so good. Like, try a bite. That's not me. I'm like, it's great. I'm going to eat mine. You know, like, don't touch it. I don't want to share with you. I want to eat it. You know, that's why I ordered it. And so I get married, and my wife's totally grown up. Like, she grew up as, you know, one of those people that's like, oh, yeah, you know, we share our food. And so she innocently came in and was like, I love my husband. He loves me. He's made this beautiful sandwich. I'm hungry. You know, like, of course he'd be okay with me taking a bite. And now, granted, had she asked and it been not the first bite, I would have been. But none of those happened, right? But I realized that there was this boundary that I hadn't, you know, communicated. And I wasn't even aware of it myself, right? And so it caused this tension in our relationship. And now, like, what I realized, you know, to me was this dastardly act was a complete innocent act of love for my wife. And that was something that we have worked through and grown. And I have, like, especially having kids, you have to just let it go. You know, like, your kids are gonna, like, you know, spit on your food or whatever. And you just have to let it go. So I've grown a lot in that. And Nicole's grown a lot in just, you know, asking. And we have, like, grown a lot in our relationship because of it. But my point in bringing that humorous story up is this. Few things are as frustrating or hard to figure out as when someone crosses a boundary of yours, especially one that's not communicated, right? Sometimes there's things that we get frustrated by and we don't even know why we're frustrated. We don't even know that there was a boundary there. That's never something I had communicated to Nicole, so how could she have possibly known, right? But even if I hadn't communicated it, it still was there. So good morning. My name is BJ. If you don't know me, I'm the lead pastor here at Adventure, and we are in week 5 of a series called Radiant. And the idea behind our series is that throughout Scripture, there are several verses that talk about freedom and joy and abundance that's available to followers of Jesus Christ. And that abundance is under constant assault. We read in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So Jesus' mission is to give us this abundant life, but we can't look at that apart from the fact that the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so through Jesus, we can have abundance that radiates from our lives, an abundance that's visible even to other people. However, we need to fight for it. And by better understanding both God's laws and then evaluating the ways that we relate, we can experience lives that radiate a more abundant joy. And so we're going to continue to dive in the series. Over the last 4 weeks, we've covered 4 different laws. Now, these aren't laws like the Ten Commandments. These are laws kind of nature, things that God has established that are truths that persist that we might not even necessarily know or have, you know, communicated, but they still very much exist. So the first is the law of sowing and reaping. The Bible talks very clearly that basically our choices have consequences, right? We learned that when... if I sow a bunch of foolish and unwise decisions, then I'm going to reap some negative consequences. But if I sow a bunch of seeds of wise decisions or seeds in the Spirit, then I will reap the benefits of that communion with the Spirit. The second law we covered was the law of responsibility, that at the end of the day, I'm responsible for me. I'm responsible for the seeds that I sow. So I can't, at the end of the day, go, I did all these foolish things, and now I'm mad at God because my life isn't abundant, because I'm now experiencing all the negative consequences of the things that I've sown foolishly, right? I'm responsible for myself. The third we talked about was the law of power, that God has made us in his image. He has given us power and authority to actually change things, to impact the way that we relate to the world. And then Seth talked last week about the law of activity, and that is that the enemy, as we read in John 10:10, is an active force. He is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we just simply are passive, then we are losing the battle. We have to fight and engage. And one of the specific things he talked about was about depression, which is kind of the ultimate passiveness, you know, simply sitting back and allowing life to overcome us. And we need to take action. So the law I want to share with you guys today is called the law of exposure. And the law of exposure is essentially about boundaries. And before we talk about boundaries, there's some things to note about boundaries. First is this. Boundaries aren't meant to be this impenetrable wall or fence. That's not the purpose of boundaries. A boundary is simply something that defines me. It separates me from the people around me, from the world. It identifies what's me and what's not me, what I'm responsible for and what I'm not responsible for. Those are boundaries. And I'll give some examples of what they are, but as we talk about them, boundaries are meant to be more like a picket fence, something that has a gate that allows the good in but still keeps the bad out. Have we ever noticed that in relationships, with good friends, there's this freedom, right? Somebody you know really well, there's this freedom. You can joke and you can laugh and you know what's out of bounds and what's not, right? If I make this kind of joke or I say this kind of thing, that's going to hurt them. So I don't want to do that. And then, you know, I also know what's good and what's okay and what persists in that relationship. Sometimes with somebody new, you don't know that. And so we're more careful with how we communicate. That's an example of boundaries. And so we need to be able to communicate those things. And the boundaries aren't meant to be harsh. They're actually meant to be a good thing. And so the law of exposure says this: your boundaries need to be made visible to others and lovingly communicated to others. So boundaries are a good thing, but they need to be visible. They need to be communicated together. Because what happens is we have many problems because of relational fears, right? I wouldn't communicate a boundary to you. Say something you did hurt me, and I wouldn't communicate it to you because I'd be afraid that, wow, maybe they would be really hurt if I told them that. Or maybe they'd be really upset with me. Or maybe they yell and scream at me. Or maybe they wouldn't ever want to be my friend again if I told them that that hurt. Or if I told them no to something. Right? That we have fears of relationship or fears about communication or how they might respond or whether or not they'll be approve of us or whether or not they'll be proud of us. And the problem is that each one of these fears are failures of love. Because perfect love casts out fear. And so in the story of my man, which I humorously I shared with you this funny impact of uncommunicated boundaries, but for us to press more into this abundant life, we need to take responsibility for our role in communicating the boundaries that we have. Sometimes we get into this place where we kind of just quietly let things happen and we don't communicate those boundaries. And so this morning, as we look at scripture, I want to share with you three things about the law of exposure. The first thing is that healthy boundaries are needed for healthy relationships. So it's actually okay and healthy to have boundaries. And I'll explain some examples about what specifically I mean with that. But it is important to know that having healthy boundaries is actually good and needed. Second, those boundaries need to be visible. Right? Nobody wants to walk on eggshells around anyone. If we communicate them, then they're visible. Last, they need to be communicated in love. Because what happens is we get into this trap where we allow these things to continue to persist, right? And we get frustrated and we feel hurt, or maybe we feel taken advantage of, and we don't ever communicate our boundaries. And so finally we get so fed up and then we just slam someone, right? And then they're not communicated in love. We're just so frustrated and fed up that finally we're like, that's it. This is enough. And you did this, this, and this, and this. And we list out all these things and they're not communicated in love. So as we take a look at this, we're going to primarily be bouncing around a little bit in Ephesians, but let's take a look at healthy boundaries are needed for healthy relationship. So the first thing is that we see that God actually has boundaries. Here's some of the boundaries that God communicates. First, God tells us who he is and who he is not. So, for example, in Isaiah 48:12, he says, I am the first and the last. I am he. And so God is very clear to differentiate between what man is and what God is. Some religions claim that we are God. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible is very clear that mankind is made in the image of God, but mankind is not God. God is different and distinct. That's one boundary. God also defines his personality by telling us about himself. We know what he likes and what he dislikes. The Bible tells us what he allows and what he doesn't allow. It tells us what he thinks, what he will. It also tells us God puts limits on what he'll allow in his yard. He's very clear about sin and the consequences of that. And then in the New Testament, in Matthew 5:37, it's a passage where it says, it says, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Now, in this passage, they're specifically talking about making oaths. But the point kind of beneath it that I want to draw out is that we have the ability to say no. And that can be eye-opening for some of us sometimes. Sometimes we're not very good at saying no. And so Jesus says simply, hey, we have the ability to say yes or no, and we need to mean what we say. Seth recently put out a Facebook post, and he said about this verse and about this generation. He said, so much for let your yes be yes and your no be no. That often feels like yes means maybe, and maybe really means no. So I think that's a great example of what's become in our culture, right? We're so afraid of saying no that we say maybe. Right? Hey, can you come to my party? Yeah, maybe. You know, and we all know that means no. How sad is that? But we're all so afraid to actually say no, and we're so afraid to say yes, because what if something better comes along? Then I might want to go to that. So here's some examples of some boundaries that we have that may not be communicated. So the first is skin, right? So if we all have kind of like a personal bubble, you don't want random people coming and you know, touching you, right? If I were to stand like face to face with you right now, you would be like, hey, I don't like that. You know, you would scoot back, right? What's uncommunicated there when you step back is there is clearly a boundary and I don't like you right in my face, right? Which I'm trying to teach my children and they haven't quite got it yet, right? But we have boundaries. That's an example of a boundary that's not communicated. We also have a boundary with words, specifically saying like the word no, right? You know, I don't like that, or no, don't take my toy, or whatever that is. We have boundaries of truth, what truth is and what it's not. And right now, our world desperately needs to have some more clear boundaries around what is truth and what is not. You know, we have boundaries around geographical distance, you know, boundaries on what's a state and what's a country and what's a city. Boundaries around our time. There's 24 hours in a day, and we only have so much time to accomplish things. Boundaries in emotional distance or even in consequences, right? If somebody hurts me, there's a consequence. There's a boundary of that. Right, I respond in a certain way. Each of these are boundaries that we see in life, but often are uncommunicated. An example is if you work at almost any country or any company, you'll get an HR manual, right? And the HR manual will tell you essentially what the boundaries of the company are, right? You can take 2 weeks vacation time, and you can take sick days that are paid, but you need to communicate to your manager about when you're going to do that, right? And the reality is a boundary is not something, it's not a way to control someone, right? I can't control you even if I set a boundary. Even as, say, an employer, I can't say, you can't take vacation at this time. I mean, I could communicate that, but in reality, you could do whatever you want. You could take vacation, you know, for 3 months and never communicate it to your boss. Now, while they can't force you to come and actually work, there are consequences to your decision. They can fire you for not showing up to work, right? But the point is a boundary is not one of trying to force people to control. A boundary is saying, hey, this is where we draw a line. Here's an end. In my relationship with Nicole, one of the boundaries that we've set in our relationship that we both agreed upon is we want to resolve conflict in our home within 24 hours. And that's something that both of us have permission to hold each other accountable to. So that there's not something that goes on, an issue that continues to build. And so the reality is healthy boundaries are needed for healthy relationships. It's something that God has established and something that needs to exist. The second is that healthy boundaries need to be visible. I'm going to take a look at Ephesians 4, 25 through 27. It says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are all members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. As the body of Christ, we are called to put away falsehood and speak truth to each other. So maybe for you, many of us don't struggle with just outright lying, right? And, you know, we're generally truthful. I would say most people are generally truthful. I would say the exceptions or the biggest challenges come when someone hurts you, how truthful are you, right? If somebody hurts you, something happens, right? How truthful are you? Do you go to them and say, hey, when you did this, it hurt me. I didn't like that. I think sometimes as believers, we get caught up in this system of self-protection. And we go, well, I'm supposed to forgive, right? And I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. So I'm gonna let it go. It's not a big deal, you know? And we'll talk to somebody else about it and be like, yeah, they did this and I really didn't like it, but it's not a big deal. I mean, like, I know their heart's good. And the problem is we're not honoring what Scripture says even about forgiveness in that process. For there to be forgiveness, there has to be a clear trespass, right? There has to be ownership of something there. Now, we're still called to forgive, but we're also called to communicate that boundary. Hey, that didn't feel good. And so if we're not communicating truthfully, we're not making our boundaries visible. The other part that it says is don't let the sun go down on your anger. And I think the easiest way we let that happen is in the case of hurt. Right, I felt hurt, and I'm gonna let it go, you know. But letting it go is not the same as forgiveness. And what happens is it's not really let go, is it? It's something that builds, and it becomes bitterness in our lives. And the reason that we do that is because we're afraid. We have all these fears that if I communicated that I was hurt, then it might not land well, or sometimes they'll feel upset, or sometimes we go, if I told them that hurt me, then they have power to hurt me again, And so I don't want to tell them that. You know, I want to hide that. Ephesians 5:14, I don't think it's on my PowerPoint. There it is. It says, "But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" If we want to be radiant, we need to allow God's light to shine in the dark places of our lives. And that includes the places of hurt, the places of tenderness, and allow that to be visible and communicated. Otherwise, the enemy continues to rob from our relationships. And we have anger and bitterness that builds up. So I have this friend, and for the purpose of this illustration, I'll call this person Taylor, okay? So Taylor is an extremely kind and loving person. Taylor loves to help others and has a tremendous servant's heart. One of the problems for Taylor, though, is that Taylor's life is incredibly busy. In fact, most of Taylor's time is spent doing things for others. Taylor often stays after work helping others, arriving early to get things ready, and seems unshakable. The problem is, Taylor often wrestles with feeling taken advantage of or feeling unappreciated. Taylor wouldn't ever tell you if something was wrong, and Taylor is the kind of person that wouldn't make a big deal out of it and would just try to get over it. All right, now I need to be honest with you. I just made Taylor up. And I frustratingly never said he or she. All right, so that was on purpose, but my point is, and I picked a gender-neutral name so you wouldn't know. All of you are like, who's Taylor? I need to find out who they are, all right? So that was my social experiment to mess with you all. But the reality is, while Taylor is a made-up person, I know many Taylors. And Taylor's life is an example of a boundaryless life, right? Somebody who goes through life and has really good intentions and a really good heart and wants to serve people and love them and do things for them, but gets to this point where they actually get burned out and overwhelmed and feel taken advantage of and manipulated, and they never say no. And they never communicate that to anyone. And the problem is that if you fast forward 5, 10, 15 years into Taylor's life, eventually Taylor's going to snap out of it. And Taylor's going to go, man, I am so tired of giving and giving and giving and everyone taking advantage of me. And then Taylor's burned out. All because Taylor didn't communicate any boundaries. Healthy boundaries. And so one boundary is the word no. So when was the last time you used that? Right? A friend or a family member wants to come over and it's terrible timing. When was the last time you said, hey, you know what? I really want to hang out with you, but sorry, this isn't the best time. It's hard to do, isn't it? How about a family member that desperately needs to take responsibility for their own life, and you know it, but every time they ask for help, you feel bad, so you take over. And you go, well, at least they know I love them, right? Or how about you're in a fight with your family member or spouse, and you just want things to be resolved. You just want it to be good, and you know it's not your fault. And you just go, I'm going to fall on the sword, and you go, you know, okay, you're right, I'm sorry. But it's not really, there's no resolution. It's just, I want it to be done. I want it to be over. I'm tired of being in the argument. The problem is that in each of these scenarios, we're misunderstanding how healthy relationships operate. By failing to say no, we're trying to take responsibility for others' emotions. The reality is, if I say to you no because it's an inconvenient time, it's not my responsibility to manage how you feel about it. It's your responsibility. And hopefully, you can manage that and go, yeah, you know, I'm a little disappointed, but it's okay, we can work it out. By continuing to rescue others, we learned in the law of responsibility that we can actually harm them that way. By sweeping our own feelings under the rug to just make peace with our spouse or family member, we fail to take responsibility of our own emotion, right? And we're taking responsibility for theirs. In all of these situations, we're actually misunderstanding the boundaries in our relationships. The reality is, it's okay to say no sometimes. It's okay and actually good to not kill yourself trying to serve everyone. It's okay to say, hey, I'm kind of tired. I don't think I can help right now. It's okay to say, hey, you know what? I'm too busy. You know, I love you. I want to be able to help out, but I can't. I'm not able to do that. Or when you did this or said this, that hurt. Those are okay things to communicate. God's desire is that we're truthful to our hearts and the hearts of others. Psalm 51:6 says, "Behold, You delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. God cares about what's going on in our hearts, in the hearts of those around us. And so it's important that we communicate that. So healthy boundaries need to be visible. And the last is that healthy boundaries need to be lovingly communicated. All right, so most of us struggle to communicate our boundaries because of fears. I said fears like guilt and fears of being afraid of response. But what happens is when we let them build up, then we come and we slam somebody, right? We let it build up, and then finally we lay the boundaries down, all right? So for example, let's say, you know, for you younger kids, all right? Say, for example, your brother or sister is being a pest, and they're just poking you repeatedly. Hey, you know, hey, what's going on, right? And it's okay to tell them, no, you don't like that, right? But let's say that you just continue to let them do that, and then eventually what's going to happen? You're going to lose it, and you're going, hey, get off me, you know, and then it turns into a big battle. I know because I witness it every day, all right? As another relationship, I was going to have Nicole share, but she's serving in our children's ministry this morning, but Nicole had an example of this last week. So she volunteered, Nicole's my wife, by the way, but she volunteered to help out with this event. She was really excited about it. She was going to go, you know, help out and prepare a bunch of stuff for it. And then as it kind of got closer to the event, some things were moving around. A lot of things were kind of converging on the same date. And she realized, like, that weekend, wow, it's really getting filled up. It's getting busy. And so she invited a friend. And she's like, hey, you know, like, let's do this together. Can you help carry some of the weight of it? And her friend was really excited. And together they're like, yeah, like, we're gonna come up with a big plan. So they put lots of hours into preparation, and you know, everything was going great. And then a couple more things changed that weekend, and then all of a sudden Nicole realized, wow, I'm not even really gonna be able to be there much of it. I have all these other commitments and things are happening. And so she began to feel bad. She's like, I invited my friend into it and I had committed. I don't want my friend to feel bad. So she called a bunch of volunteers and said, hey, can you go help out my other friend? And so as the volunteers came in, no bad intentions, but very quickly they're like, well, hey, what if we tried it this way or that way or whatever? And so then Nicole's friend felt kind of taken advantage of. She's just like, man, I spent all this time preparing and now, you know, all these people are coming and trying to change. And so when it came to the actual event, Nicole could tell there was something not quite right, you know, with her friend. Her friend was kind of upset, and she's like, man, I don't know what to do. And so she was trying to send volunteers, and there just wasn't a lot of great communication. And in the middle of the event, they weren't able to really talk about it. After the event, they were doing, you know, just kind of cleaning up together. And, you know, Nicole was like, hey, you know, are we okay? And her friend was like, yeah, we're good. I mean, it didn't go well, but yeah, we're fine. But like this really subtle comment, and Nicole's like, man, it just doesn't feel like we're good. You know, what's going on? And so they ended up meeting the next day to talk about it, and they both had some opportunity to kind of pray through. And what they realized was that both of them had failed to communicate some really important boundaries. The first was that her friend felt pretty upset that she had signed up to help out for this event, right? And then Nicole couldn't be there. And Nicole's like, you know what? Wow, I'm really sorry. Because it was because of my failure of saying no to these other things that I should have said no to, my own failure of boundaries, that you got hurt in that. And that was not what I wanted to happen. I'm really sorry. And then her friend goes, yeah, I'm sorry. I should have communicated to you that I was hurt and upset. But I felt so bad, and you were there with your kids, and I knew that you had a lot going on in your mind, and I just didn't want to communicate to you, and I just was kind of passive. And that wasn't right either. And I recognized that was me failing to communicate my boundaries. And they were able to lovingly communicate, hey, I'm sorry I missed you. I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry that I couldn't say no. And I'm sorry I wasn't strong enough to share where my feelings were at. But that's a perfect example. And now they're good, by the way. They worked it all out and things are great. But it's important that we actually take the time to communicate and be visible. But they communicated them lovingly. It wasn't like, they could have totally lost their mind, right? Her friend could have been like, are you kidding me? I signed up for this event and you ditched me? Right? And Nicole could have been like, well, I tried to talk to you about it, but you're completely passive and like, yeah, we're okay, but we're not really okay. That's how it could have gone down, but it wasn't. And luckily, they were able to lovingly communicate. And so the law of exposure says we need to make our boundaries visible to others. The Bible says there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Perfect love drives out fear, and the biggest reason we don't communicate is because of fear. And so if we want to be operating in true love and the love that God has demonstrated us, we need to communicate lovingly to the people around us. So healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries are needed for healthy relationships. So my question is, does your life sound like the example of Taylor I made earlier? Are there areas in your life where you're living boundaryless? Maybe you're feeling taken advantage of or kind of persisting quietly and you're just like, I'm just going to let it go and sweep it under the rug. But really, maybe you're burned out. Or are healthy boundaries need to be visible? Boundaries don't do any good unless we communicate them. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say that hurt. Sometimes we have to examine ourselves to determine where are those boundaries and why are we feeling upset. And the last is healthy boundaries need to be communicated in love. The whole point is, how do we keep the bad out but let the good in? It's not meant to come and slam down these walls. And so I want to end with just some action steps that we can take. The first is this. I want you to examine and pray through any hurts, right? If there's a situation in your life where you're feeling upset or maybe taken advantage of, or some of those statements I said earlier, like, you know, I can't believe this person would do that. They should know better. Or everyone knows you shouldn't do X, Y, Z. Those are prime examples of not communicating boundaries. So examine in your life, is there an area where you're feeling irritated, you're feeling frustrated because of some boundary that maybe wasn't communicated? Pray through that, and as you're praying through, ask God to help identify the boundaries you need to communicate. Maybe there are some things that you need to say no to. If your life is out of control and you are super busy and you constantly are running from here to there, maybe you need to say no to some things, and that's okay. And then I want to encourage you, pick one relationship or area and actually set up a meeting, right? Seth talked last week about the law of activity. We need to actually be intentional to move forward into this. We need to take action so that the enemy doesn't continue to destroy those relationships. So if there's a relationship in your life that needs some loving boundaries that haven't been communicated, take the time to communicate them. Push through the fears and go, no, this is healthy and loving. And I say pick one relationship or area because sometimes when we begin to examine our lives, say my life has been going on for 5 years and I have no boundaries, right? And all of a sudden I go, yeah, I can say no. And yeah, people have been taking advantage of me and I feel like a doormat. And then all of a sudden I go, that's right, you, and you, like, here's some boundaries. Back off. I'm frustrated and I'm going to communicate it, right? We get to this point where we go on this war path, and that's not the heart of boundaries. God's heart is to communicate them in love. So pick one and walk with God in the midst of it. And I encourage you, take the time to communicate. In your bulletin, we have a connection card. It's something you can tear out. And I just want to let you know of a few other things. If you have a prayer request, or maybe right now you're like, man, I want to step out. I know there's some areas that I need to communicate. Maybe write in that connection card a prayer request. We'd love to have the opportunity to pray with you. We also have prayer available after service. You can come sit in the front row. We'd love to pray with you. Or maybe you want to take a next step in your relationship with God. Maybe you want to know more about baptism or how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the last thing that I want to just kind of offer to you is over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be taking a look at how these laws apply to specific relationships. How do we do this in the context of marriage? How do we do this in the context of being a parent or a child? In each of those things, we're going to dive a little deeper. So I want to take just some time to close in prayer if you join me. Jesus, I thank you, God, that you have established boundaries. Lord, that you care about what goes on in our heart, and you care about the hurts that we experience, and you care about how we relate in our relationships. And Jesus, thank you for coming for abundance. Lord, help us to experience more of that. Help us to radiate that abundance to the people around us. And so, Jesus, I just pray just specifically for courage against fear, for those that are going to take an active step towards communicating some loving boundaries in their relationships in their life. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. We're now going to move into a time of receiving our offering. So I want to invite the ushers forward. And as they're coming forward, I want to share just a story of my last week with you, or my last week. So I had a kind of a stressful day, and I came home, and as soon as I walked in the door, my kids greeted me, and Nicole had set the table really nice, and there was this dinner ready, like hot and waiting, and she was dressed up. She was wearing like a nice dress, and she looked beautiful, and I was so excited. I'm like, man, this is awesome, you know? And I felt so loved and cherished, and we sat down. We had a nice family dinner together, and then after, you know, we put the kids to bed together, and then after that, she's like, hey, I have one more surprise for you. And she brought out like a fresh root beer float. I love root beer floats. They're so good. And I was so excited. I felt so loved. And I'm like, man, I felt so blessed. Just by, I would have been happy with just any one of those things. In our home, like having dinner ready when I come home, that doesn't really happen that often. I was like super excited, you know, and so blessed by that. What I realized is that, you know, it's actually a really natural response to when we love someone to give back. Right, to show that love, to communicate it. In 2 Corinthians 8, 7 and 8, it says this. Paul writes this to the Corinthians. He says, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness and in love, we have kindled in you, say that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. The reality is the Corinthian believers excelled in everything. Right? They had good faith, they had good preaching and much knowledge and earnestness and much love, but Paul wants them to be leaders in giving. And he says to them, I'm not commanding you to do it, but I'm encouraging you to show your love through it. We're showing our love to God and to others, and the reality is that when we love someone, we want to give our time, our attention, and our resources back to them. And giving to God is just one way that we show him love, in the way that we give our time or our resources or whatever. And so as the offering baskets are back, I'm just going to pray really quickly for that. Jesus, we thank you. We pray, Lord, that you would use these gifts to multiply your kingdom. And God, we thank you. We worship you. We praise you. Thank you for loving us so much. And God, we're excited to give back to you and communicate our love to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The way we take offering is the baskets just start in the front and they just kind of work their way back, just pass them back, and the ushers will grab them. Go for that, guys. The last thing we want to do is, today's kind of a unique Sunday because a couple weeks ago I shared that Zach and Bree, our junior high youth pastor, has accepted a position at a church called Eastside Christian Fellowship. And so I want to invite kind of the commission team up as I talk some more about that. But today we wanted to have kind of like a commissioning, kind of a send-off. Throughout Scripture we see examples of taking the time to just pray and send out leaders. And it's, though it's hard because it's somebody that we love, it's also a really good thing. Eastside Christian Fellowship is part of the greater body of Christ. And so it's hard for us to send people out, but we also celebrate what they're getting in Zach and Bree. And so I've invited just some important people in Zach and Bree's life. Jake's going to take some time. Jake performed their wedding ceremony. So he's going to get a chance to just pray for their marriage, and I've asked Jeff to pray just for their ministry, and then Jeff and Rhonda to pray just for their new church family. But we're a family here at Adventure, and so we're going to go ahead and do that, but I want to really invite all of you in a moment to come up, because Zach and Bree have been here forever, like 12 years, they're important to all of us. And so if you have a relationship, I want to encourage you to come up. Well, before we do that, though, Susan, why don't you run up here? We have a gift for Zach and Bree, and this in no way is a repayment for all that you guys have done, but we want to send you out on a date, and then this is kind of a collection of just some encouragement notes that have been written to you guys from different people in the church. So we love you guys so much, and let's take an opportunity to pray. So if you are new...
Can I talk?
Okay, cool. Go for it. Yeah, why don't you do that now?
Should I do it right now?
Do it now.
Okay.
Go.
Bree doesn't really, she has a lot to say, but I'll speak for her. So we just want to say thank you.
All right, here we go. Thank you guys so much. I was just looking during worship. I went to the back and I saw everybody, and each and every one of you have made an impact on us, so thank you so much. Seth, thank you for the hundreds of dollars you spent on lunches with me and the many, many hours of just teaching me and walking with me in my walk with Christ and slapping me when I was being stupid and doing and really walking with me. So thank you. There were a lot of you when I was an intern, a lot of you helped, you prayed for me and you supported me. And Ephraim, thank you for supporting me every month financially so I could put money in my gas tank so I could go to youth group and take kids out to coffee. That meant the world to me, so thank you so much. I could keep going on and on about all of you guys, but you guys have made a huge impact on our lives. So, yeah, one quick thing. I've said this before. When I was in seventh grade, I sat in the back right up there in the balcony, and that's when the Lord called me to be youth pastor. And so this place is a special place in my heart. So thank you guys so much for everything you've done for us. Okay.
Awesome. Well, as I was saying before, we're a church family, and Zach is, and Bree have been here forever, and we want to celebrate them. And so if you're new, feel free to sit in your seat and pray along with us, but also feel free to come on up. So come on up right now. We're going to gather around them, and then I've invited them to pray, and then at the end, I'll close in prayer. Youth, students, children, you guys are all welcome. Come gather around. We're a family, so let's take some time to send out Zach and Bree well.
All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, your word tells us that when we lean into you with confidence and we pray specifically, you answer our prayers. And so, Lord, we just want to start off this prayer time with Zach and Bree and with you and all these people that love this couple so much. Lord, we just want to pray for their marriage. Lord, would you just bind their marriage that nothing can separate them, that no human force could ever come between them, Lord? Lord, we ask that you would just lead them in faithfulness. Lord, that you would remain at the center of their marriage. And Lord, we pray for protection. We pray for wisdom. We pray for great joy as they step into this new journey together. And Lord, you have begun a great work in Zach and Bree's relationship, Lord, and we have confidence that you will bring that to completion. And so we commit this in your name.
I felt like the Lord was giving me a picture first service. Zach shared with you of just you being an arrow, being a weapon that the Lord has fashioned for good, and together with Bree, that being a powerful and effective thing. And I think it's a two-part vision, because now I feel like he's saying that that arrow is an arrow of light, that you're being sent into this fellowship where you're going to do youth ministry. So I just want to pray over that and pray that into existence. So, Lord, I do pray that you would send Zach and Bree together as an arrow of light into a dark place. And I say that in the sense of teens are, darkness is coming against them constantly and trying to set the course of their life as a course into darkness. But Lord, I pray that you'd use Zach and Bree and the light that you've given them here at Adventure in community here. The light of walking with you, hearing your voice, living out of their true identities, and just being that example of a marriage that represents Christ in the church. I pray that their ministry would be a ministry of light to the youth, and that you would continue that in this next stage of their lives. And so, Lord, we just celebrate in ministry in their lives what you're doing in this next step, Lord, and just shoot them over to that church and bring light in Jesus' name.
Wow, Lord, you are such a good God. Father, as Zachary was growing up, Jeff and I would always pray for others that loved you, others that would invest in his life. And Lord, as I see everybody on this stage and all these people in this congregation, you have answered our prayers so richly, and I just thank you so much, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for the leadership of BJ and just what he has meant to us and what he has done for Zach. Thank you, Father, for all these people that have loved him so well and have embraced and loved Bree as well. Thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I just pray right now for this transition of going to a new church community. I pray, Father, that as Zach walks in as the new youth pastor, Father, that he feels welcomed, he feels supported. I pray that Bree feels the same, Lord. I pray that as they work together, they feel that they are working as a team. And I feel, God, that they have a team that comes to support them. Lord, I just thank you for their hearts, wanting to share your love with youth. And I just pray for those youth right now, Lord. You know who they are. I pray, Father, that they connect with Zach and Bree. I pray, God, that they make decisions to serve you, Lord. Like Zach and Bree, those decisions were made for them here in their community when they were in youth. And I just pray that they can do the same for others. Lord, as you have had many invest in their lives, now they are going to move forward and invest in others. And I just thank you for that. And I just thank you for the many the many praises we will hear of young lives changed because you are using them. So just thank you for that, Lord.
Lord, we love you so much. We're just so grateful, God, for your love. God, grateful for the plans you have for each and every one of our lives, God, as you just continue to move out and do amazing things in your kingdom. God, I just also pray for transition. Pray for the transition that'll be going on at Eastside Christian Fellowship, the transition here at Adventure, and for the transition, of course, for Zach and Bree, Lord, for Eastside Christian Fellowship, Lord, we just we pray over them. We pray over them for this new chapter, the beginning with Zach and Bree, Lord. I just pray for that church. Even though they're a different church body, a different congregation, God, they are our brothers and sisters for the cause of Christ. So, Lord, we just pray over them. But pray for the young people that Zach and Bree are going to be reaching, Lord. Prepare the hearts of the young people and the families, Lord, that Zach and Bree will be ministering to, Lord. Just give Zach the right words to speak that come to him from you, Lord, and how to impact your kingdom through those families, Lord, and to reach the lost kids, God, who don't know you, and to empower and enthuse those who do know you, Lord. So, God, we just pray for the hearts, the leadership, Lord, just to welcome, continue to welcome Zach and Bree, God, and just to be welcoming and be a place where it's going to be really great for their hearts, Lord, as a couple to grow and learn in their walk with you, Lord. So we pray over Eastside Christian Fellowship. God, and for Adventure, Lord, we just thank you so much for the impact that this church has had for our family, Lord, and just what we've seen, the growth for Zach and for Bree, Lord. And we're just confident moving forward, Lord, the transition here for youth, that you're going to continue to work on the hearts of youth, God, and some new exciting things that you're going to be doing through here and through Garrett, God. And we're already grateful for that because we've seen what you've done and we know what you're going to do. And we just love you so much, God, and know that you're going to do continue to do amazing things. So just pray for the transition, Lord. We lift up Adventure to you right now. And for Zach and Bree, God, just keep them, Lord. Bless them. Enrich their lives and enrich their marriage. God, just continue to make them an incredible instrument as a couple for the cause of Christ. That you would just move through them, Lord. Give them the words, the heart, God, to impact youth across the east side and through that church, God. And we're just we're grateful for that, Lord. We've seen what you've done. You've done in their hearts and in their ministry, and we're moving confidently knowing they're going to move forward into that, God, at another place. God, we just love you so much and grateful for what you have for each and every one of us, the new chapters and what you're just weaving together because of your goodness, because you love each and every one of us so desperately much, and we're grateful for that. Lord, we're just celebrate you today. We love you. We thank you. And lift up Zach and Bree to you, too, and leadership here at Adventure, God, as we move forward. And in your son's name, we all said, amen.
So we are done. We can conclude our service. I want to give you one last challenge as we all walk away sniffling. Grab somebody, invite them out to lunch today. And we'll continue to be a community that loves each other and spends time together. You guys are dismissed, and we will see you next week.